Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 126. Amateur Nation is anti-American. Fans first. Shout out to Courtney Meshack of Ashland, Ohio, new listener and fan of the show, and we always welcome more pros to the table. What about you?
I'm ready to go pro.
Boom!
Topic number one.
What is sexy? To you. As I often say on this show, these are my opinions, my takes on the world, particularly Amateur Nation. I should say that this topic in particular, more than ever, is just my opinion. You might agree with some, all, or none of what I'm about to say, but at least I'm honest and come from a respectful place, and certainly wouldn't tell you you're wrong when it comes to something as subjective as defining what is sexy. That being said, when I was younger, and Victoria's Secret was relatively new on the scene, I'd go in now and then to buy sexy lingerie, bras, panties, robes, etc. for whatever girl I was dating. Now back then, Victoria's Secret was kind of a fancy store. A chain, yes, but still a fancy store. Classical music was always playing, the sales staff always very well-dressed, poised, and sharp, and spoke in that museum voice. They'd offer elegant and classy gift wrap if you wanted it. Last time I walked by a Victoria's Secret store, I could hear that loud music playing, and the word PINK is blasted in huge letters on everything, including the front and back of panties, while a sign at the entrance invited people to sift through a 3-foot pile of panties, 3 for $10, only been touched by hundreds of customers. They definitely have lost their cachet and their focus, but at least their angel models were still of model caliber. Exotic-looking, anemic, straight-faced drones squeezed into push-up bras, shown walking in commercials like their hips are out of joint, and looks on their faces like, you could never have me. And if you did, I'd be so boring in bed you'd probably pray for premature ejaculation. Clearly, Victoria's Secret has lost their way, becoming victims to woke pressure and Amateur Nation, because they have a new marketing strategy, dumping their iconic angels for lesbian soccer star Megan Rapinoe in an effort to, quote, redefine what is sexy. Way to know your audience. Rapinoe is the same woman who endorses Subway. Meatball subs and panties. Eat fresh. So they want to redefine what is sexy. In fact, they don't want to. They say they are going to. While I know how to dress myself, and I've been told that I have a good sense of style when put to the test, I've never really been trendy in my adulthood. My teen years is another story, but as an adult, I don't do trendy. And admittedly, I don't know the fashion world. And I do know the fashion world does indeed set the trends. But how about we, the American public, decide what is sexy? Now, I do agree that sexy, for me, has nothing to do with physical appearance. In no particular order, here are some things I find sexy in a woman physically. I like noses. Big noses, I love a good, nice crooked nose, a bump in the nose. Expressive eyes, great lips, thick hair. A nice walk, and I don't mean look how sexy I'm walking, walk. Maybe she's a little pigeon-toed. You know, works those hips. Dimples, definitely a turn-on. I love a real pleasant voice. I cannot stand that fake up-talking voice. and vocal fry and that pseudo-Swedish voice where everything's a question and everything goes up like this? Instant amateur. It's an attention grab and a sure sign, for me, of stupid. And yes, men and women talk about men being an ass man, a leg man, or a boob man. Sure, I like those things, but they're not important to me, and certainly doesn't determine what sexy is for me. And now the non-physical things that are sexy to me. Smart. A great uninhibited gut laugh. Witty. Loves good banter. Common sense. Good manners. Kindness. How she treats servers is a good barometer for me. Disciplined. Caring, responsible, all of these, to me, are sexy traits in a woman. The good thing about discussing what is sexy is that it's different for everyone. There is no wrong. You're attracted to what you're attracted to, physically, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, and personality-wise. But back to physical sexy. Victoria's Secret wants to, well, again, they say they're going to redefine sexy by having Megan Rapinoe, the soccer player for the U.S. women's national team. Now, I certainly don't think Megan Rapinoe was unattractive physically. I certainly wouldn't call her sexy just because Victoria's Secret tells me that she is. Nonstop bitching about America and how she's not getting paid enough and wants equal pay with the men's team despite not bringing in the ratings, the crowds, sponsors, etc. Very unsexy, very un-American, very amateur. I also do understand how Hollywood has shoved "this is what sexy is" down our throats for years, for women and men. See Brad Pitt, Jason Momoa, and yes, even Seth Rogen, which are three entirely different types of men physically. I'm admittedly on the fence when it comes to women complaining about it, with sentiments like, "you don't know the pressure it puts on us, this pressure to be thin and perfect. Men don't have that pressure." Says you. Men feel the pressure, we just rarely talk about the pressure we get from Hollywood and the ideals of perfection. But for women, if you're feeling this pressure, not to be just like those Hollywood amateurs, but pressure to feel and look better, well, then do something about it. Get in shape. Eat better. No one's stopping you. Don't like something about your life? Finances, career, relationship, weight? Take steps to change it, men and women. And by the way, no, you don't have to be perfect, male or female. Do the best you can with what you got. And any man or woman that thinks you're less than because you don't measure up to their standards isn't someone you want to be with anyway. Do I really have to tell that to adults? Well, the amateurs, yes, but I digress. We all find different things sexy, and now we're being told what is sexy. And rather than just having Megan Rapinoe model for Victoria's Secret and us seeing her on a commercial or print ad, stumbling upon her appearance for them, that's not enough. Victoria's Secret has to virtue signal. They have to show wokeness. They have to make a story of the fact that even they know that Megan Rapinoe, as athletic and or as attractive as you or society may think she is, they know that by definition, her look doesn't fit the mold of modeling their clothing and lingerie line. By making a story out of it, by going out of their way to have a body that isn't typical supermodel type, they have proven their own point. She's not a model. She's an athlete. She has a good athlete's body. She doesn't have a lingerie model body. Doesn't mean someone who has a who doesn't have a lingerie model body type can't wear lingerie. Of course not. Doesn't mean she can't wear it. She can wear whatever she wants. And it also doesn't mean that women with her body type, Megan Rapinoe's body type, don't deserve to feel or can't look sexy wearing their overpriced panties and bras and whatnot. Everyone can, like I said, work with what they've got. And I'm talking about men and women here. Thin, big-busted, flat-chested, muscular, curvy, flabby, skinny, hairy, dark-skinned, light-skinned, short, tall, short hair, long hair, no hair, younger and older, and everything in between. We all want to try to look our best, to look attractive, and not even necessarily for the opposite sex or same sex or just other people, but so we can feel good about ourselves. So we can feel good about ourselves. I always thought that was the main point of getting in shape and dressing well. To feel good about yourself. Walk taller. More confidence. Dressing for success. And if you get laid along the way, great. I'll say some of the sexiest women I've dated did not have the best body by Hollywood standards. Their sexiness came from a variety of things, things I listed earlier, but also in the way they maybe see the world, maybe their clumsiness, or conversely, their elegance and poise and grace, their passion for something, anything, how they treat the elderly, their manners, kindness, compassion, adaptability to any social setting is very sexy. Being a good cook, not once in my personal experience did a woman's body come into play for being sexy, even when I was in my early dating years in my early 20s, in my eyes. Some of the most beautiful women I've dated by Hollywood standards, once showing who they really were the opposite of sexy. I'm sure you, the listener, have had similar situations with your past relationships, male or female. Now, don't get me wrong. I like a woman with a good body and takes care of herself and respects her health. I think both people in a relationship should do their best to remain and look attractive as much as they can out of respect for the other. But I'll also take a woman in a baseball cap and jeans or a woman in a business suit over a bathing suit any day of the week, and certainly over any amateur woman who is trying too hard. Big, fake, pointy nails with sparkles all over them, covered in tattoos, especially in places I was already looking anyway, while she constantly poses for selfies, speaking in that affected, phony voice. It's laughable, but that's just me. I won't tell you what is sexy any more than I'll tell you what is funny. Sexy is subjective. And sure, some may find Megan Rapinoe sexy. I haven't seen the photos yet. I'm sure with the right lighting and hair and makeup people and the photographer, she's going to look fantastic. If we're picking female athletes, well, NHRA Top Fuel driver Leah Pruitt tops my list. And not just because she's beautiful, she drives Top Fuel. It's the fastest thing on the planet. She's gutsy, brave, smart, disciplined, fearless. She also skydives and water skis. I really don't think I could keep up with her in her lifestyle, but still. What's sexy about Leah Pruitt is she lives life on her own terms while constantly in pursuit of something greater. And in interviews, seems grateful and respectful. That's sexy. Driven women are sexy to me. Now, if we're talking women soccer players, give me Mia Hamm. Why? She was all business. She let her play on the pitch do the talking. But now, in this woke culture, we're not only being told, but being programmed, that fat and even obese is actually healthy. Sidebar, it doesn't make you a bad person, so calm down. But of course, you're a pro listening to the show, you know that. But we're being programmed that fat and even obese in America is healthy. Healthy. Yes, in the country where diabetes, obesity, and heart disease lead the world, and where we now find that 80% of COVID deaths were of people who had one of those top three afflictions. We're now told men can give birth. We're told everything, including classical music and math, is racist, and most problems are caused by white people, particularly white men. And now Victoria's Secret is changing the narrative on what is sexy. Changing the narrative is just that. You're just changing words. Calling a dog a cat doesn't make it so. And especially when dealing with subjective things like art, comedy, beauty, and yes, sexy. People will gravitate towards what makes them happy, what's comfortable for them. And companies can ask what America thinks. How come we've never had email me if I'm wrong, lou@lousantini.com. Have we ever had a major corporation, a national advertiser, put together a 15-second commercial? Well, you know, I take that back. I just thought of one. Ruffles. Ruffles potato chips. They do that contest every year asking consumers, customers, to come up with the next flavor of Ruffles to win money. There it is. Rather than shove it down your throat, yeah, here's, you know, taco bean guacamole cilantro chips. I know, you're probably going, well, that kind of sounds good. You know what I mean? Where they're just combining flavors. Like, here's what you're supposed to like now. Ruffles at least asked. But besides Ruffles then, especially when it comes to fashion, footwear, cars, you would think it would actually be, rather than all the research, the money they spend on research, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, for like a car company, you know, when they do these consumer tests and these focus groups. You know, have a seat in our new car here. Tell us what you think. Well, they already made it. Instead of doing that, put together a 15-second commercial. Hi, we're Chevrolet. We're trying to come up with a new idea for a truck. What are things that you look for in a truck? Email us at this email address. We'll try to build this truck around you. What could possibly go wrong? Yeah, you're getting a lot of dumbass answers, but still. What could go wrong? What's comfortable for you? And companies can ask America what they think. But telling them? Telling them what you thought was sexy was old and wrong. Here is what is sexy now. Like this.
Topic number two.
Speaking of taking care of yourself, men, stop working out! Amateur Nation said so. Last week on this show, Amateur Nation said getting a tan was racist. This week, an amateur by the name of Journalist Katie, sounds like a real job, sounds official and credible, posted this condescending nonsense on Twitter, and I quote, "Dear men, stop working out. Physical fitness in men creates a cycle of toxic masculinity that must be eradicated if we are to progress as a society." Oh, you can bet there's a list. Number one, let's start with the condescending, pseudo-omnipotent "dear men," like we're all snapping to attention because Journalist Katie has spoken. It's the dumbest. Why would you call yourself that on Twitter if you're trying to be credible? Walter Cronkite at the end of the news. And for CBS News, I'm Journalist Walter. All hail Journalist Katie and her throbbing brain cell. Number two. Physical fitness in men creates a cycle of toxic masculinity, she says. Once again, why is this true? Because you typed it? You stated it? Number three. Why are there no evil side effects of physical fitness in women? Number four. And please describe this cycle. I need to know how it works, right? You know what a cycle is, right? It starts here, then it goes here, then it comes back around. You know what a cycle is, right, amateur? Number five, good use of the buzzwords toxic masculinity. I hear that's trending on Twitter, so it must be a thing. When I hear words like toxic masculinity, I think of those trendy local gastropub names in Los Angeles especially that always juxtapose an adverb or adjective with an animal. Hey, we're going to go get drinks. We're going down to the belligerent squirrel. Yeah, no, I'm actually meeting some friends over at the murderous gerbil. These type of trendy gastropubs are all over the place. They're great for marketing, but a dumb way to run your life. But back to toxic masculinity. It's a sign of random stupidity. Another great name for a bar. Number six, toxic masculinity must be eradicated. All right, let's backtrack. I need to know, first of all, what qualifies as toxic masculinity. Now, if we're talking about some drunken, criminal, drug-addicted, corrupt, pedophilic Hunter Biden type, then yeah, he should be eradicated. But I hit the gym 3 times a week, try to throw some weights around, look better naked, improve my overall health, which, by the way, is working as per my last complete physical. Everything came back stiller, and I try to play softball, soccer, golf, or tennis as often as I can, taking the stairs whenever possible. I have to sacrifice this? Why? Number seven. So you, Amateur Nation, can feel better. And let's play that out. A nation of out-of-shape men. Not just some, all. I'm not sure this amateur knows what masculinity is or provides the planet. What masculinity does for the planet. It's not just a bunch of steroid users posing in front of a mirror, picking up women on that show Jersey Shore, you idiot. She does realize her own mother found some kind of masculine quality and trait attractive enough to date, marry, and get pregnant by her father, right? Number eight. Sure, there are over-the-top alpha males. I saw them weekly at my gym in Los Angeles. I talk about them in my book, as a matter of fact, and on set, and in the audience when I was on stage, and everywhere. The beard craze seems to have died down from the trendy and just stayed with the real men. I wish I could grow one, I just don't have the patience or the facial hair, but that's a good thing, lest I spread my toxicity. Number nine, she says, if we are to progress as a society. Oh, wow, I didn't know we weren't progressing. And what will be the positive outcomes then? Play it out, journalist Katie. I want you to describe in vivid detail this utopian society once men stop working out. Number 10. This is the reason the world has problems? Men who work out? And here all this time, I thought it was these things that kept us from progressing as a society, in no particular order. Corrupt government, an idiot president coloring book, cover-ups, opioid addiction, mental health issues disguised as homelessness issues. Homelessness! Bad, corrupt, racist, lazy, do-nothing mayors like Lori Lightfoot, same for governors like the murderer of the elderly Andrew Cuomo and idiot Gavin Newsom. Being taxed to death, defunding and limiting power of the police, misplaced racism, woke culture, cancel culture, voter and election fraud, critical race theory, indoctrination of our kids in schools, anti-American sentiments, censorship, the Clintons whacking anyone who stands in their way, amateurs who hoard toilet paper and hand sanitizer, giving away jobs to China and other countries when we could do it better ourselves in America, letting China get away with releasing the coronavirus and committing crimes against humanity, the corrupt World Health Organization, NIH and CDC, and speaking of crimes against humanity, Dr. Keebler L. Fauci, who needs to be on trial, virtue signalers, Greta Thunberg, Hollywood and mainstream media, terrorist and or communist groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter. But yeah, men should stop working out if we want to progress as a society. Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, really. I'm not even done yet. Here we go. Number 11. This is another amateur who thinks because she simply typed something, it automatically becomes a thing. Number 12. Also, when some amateur states this kind of crap, even she knows there is literally no way to stop all men from working out. But she said it, so it seems like to amateurs. Man, if we could just stop men from working out. Here's an example of a statement that is more definitive, more specific. We need tougher laws on men who abuse women. Okay, it's a little vague, but it's a start. You could amend that to something like this. We need a mandatory blank year prison sentence for men who are convicted of spouse abuse. That's something that could make a real change, something that actually could be done. But amateurs only operate on feelings and impulse, knee-jerk reactions, and getting attention. My statements I just said, those aren't sexy. They're not inflammatory. And frankly, my statements, as fast as they came to me, are something that makes sense, could be implemented, put to a vote. But her statement basically means, I don't like men who work out. I can't get a fit man to date me, so they have to adjust. I could work on developing a brain and a better personality, but griping is easier. And finally, number 13. She's journalist Katie? Fine, I'm Dr. Santini. No, wait. King Santini. Mic drop. My Instagram is at LouSantini3. Subscribe to my YouTube page and see episode previews back in 60 seconds.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur. Amateur habitats and history. Social media plus me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3.
Picture this. You need someone to paint your house. I come over and paint your house. I do a good job. You pay me. In fact, for some reason, you pay me more than the job was worth, more than what I did. And after you've paid me, I tell you how horrible you are. These are the celebrities who hate America. They don't hate capitalism. That they love. But they hate America. Who's in America? You, the people paying them and getting them famous. But keep giving them your money to hear how horrible the place where they made their millions is, amateurs. Take, for example, actor John Cusack. Actor, film producer, screenwriter. Here's his headline. "We aren't great, we're fucking awful." Net worth, $50 million. Grammy winner and one-hit wonder Macy Gray. Headline, Macy Gray thinks the American flag is divisive, saying, "Cancel the American flag for Juneteenth. It no longer represents democracy and freedom." Oh, because you said so, smoky man voice? Net worth, $12 to $23 million. Chronically sleeping-sounding, overrated Grammy-winning singer Billie Eilish. "Donald Trump is destroying our country and everything we care about." You gotta love those vagaries combined with the blame game. Explain how he destroyed our country? Specifics, please, Billy. "And everything we care about." I didn't know Billie Eilish cared about the same things I do. She likes drag racing and collecting art and lighting? Cool. She likes comedy? Spike Jonze, Steve Martin? I had no idea. And here's the best part. She recently apologized for using racial slurs when she was 13 or 14. God help us if we all had to be held accountable to things we said or did when we were 13 years old. She said she was appalled and embarrassed by herself. Can you be appalled at yourself? I am shocked at how stupid I am. Net worth, $25 million. U.S. Olympic athlete Chelsea Wolf recently said her goal was to win an Olympic medal so I can burn a U.S. flag on the podium. So, you can take advantage of all the best training facilities in the world in the United States to train and then embarrass yourself and your family for eternity for attention. Great job, parents! None of these statements, none of this posturing is bravery. This is not bravery. This isn't patriotism. That's not to say it's not okay to criticize America. Yes, you have that right. And that's what makes America great. But the irony is lost on these ungrateful, privileged, uber-wealthy, pampered, pandered, out-of-touch, and did I say ungrateful? Amateurs. Here's some homework for you amateurs. This is just for the amateurs who might be listening to this show. Why they would be, I have no idea. But here is some homework. If you know an amateur, throw this their way. Find me three. You know, screw it. One country better than America. And it can't just be like one aspect. I need at least 10 tangible reasons why that country is better. I need amateurs to cite statistics about racism, crime, cost of living, quality of life, freedoms that are available, healthcare, environment quality, transportation, education affordability and quality, treatment of women and the elderly, and other tangible reasons why that particular country is better than ours. The second half of that assignment is move there. And if you're one of those Hollywood elite, especially them, you can afford it. Boycott these and any performers or politicians that are anti-American. Actually, that's what I'm going to do. But I won't tell you what to do. Because that is un-American. A few things that didn't make the top three topics. Time for off-topic. Here we go. I overheard this from one woman to another in the grocery store. Men don't care about love. All men care about are looks and a body on a woman. And the other woman said, a woman will date a man even if he's ugly for love. Which is ridiculous because my girlfriend is hideous. Speaking of the grocery store, the grocery cart has wheels, you nimrods. This is literally why the wheel was invented, to bring objects to a different location. You're at a grocery store where you're surrounded by food in one convenient location. Amateurs, go to it. Go to the food. Don't abandon your cart in the middle of the grocery store and then walk around in a scavenger hunt with your arms full and dump it into your cart. This would be like literally driving your car to the grocery store, and halfway there, you stop in the middle of the road, get out and walk the rest of the way. So that way, you only have to drive your car half as far on the way back. In the past 16 months or so, we've been told, not asked, told, where to stand, what to wear, where to wear it, what time to be home, who's the most important, what medicine to put into our bodies, who to like, who to hate, how to think. And if you're in disagreement with those telling you these things, you're wrong and bad. Tired of it yet? Time now for three pro things, three things that are done right. Number one. Hey, I got another food pick for you. Now, admittedly, I'm not much of an ice cream man. I mean, I like ice cream. I eat ice cream, but I always overdo it, and then I always regret it. I go in phases where I just want a little bit, a taste of something sweet, something cold. Enter Skinny Cow Snack Size Skinny Minis. And their flavor is called Simply Amazing Salted Caramel Pretzel. 3 bites, I'm satisfied. Nothing artificial, 90 calories. It's vanilla ice cream, chocolate coating with crispy pretzel pieces and caramel. Salt, sweet, pro. Number two. I attended my first drag races with my dad at Dragway 42 in Salem, Ohio when I was 10 years old. Our first row bleacher seats were about 50 feet from the starting line, putting us close at racer's level. Now, Top Fuel hadn't hit 300 miles per hour just yet, but dragsters were plenty fast and loud, as I was privileged to see Big Daddy Don Garlitz, Don the Snake Prudhomme, and Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, my all-time favorite person and hero in all of sports. During a rain delay, I stood in line to get Shirley Muldowney's autograph amongst a few dozen kids. I was next in line, and as the sun began to poke through, you guessed it, they called the next Top Fuel round to the staging area. I could only imagine the hangdog, pouty, lower lip protruding mug I had on when Shirley Muldowney approached me and said, "Honey, would you like to help me push my car to the track?" I got goosebumps when I just said that. The look of envy of the other kids had me walking tall, and I remember barely putting the tip of my index finger on some part of the car. I wasn't really helping, but I sure did feel special. I still get choked up thinking about it, and I've loved drag racing ever since. Having received my latest copy of the newly revamped National Dragster magazine and seeing the cover banner celebrating 70 years of championship drag racing, I was inspired to compile a list, 70 reasons why NHRA drag racing is the best sport on earth. What I just read to you was the start of an article that I submitted to National Dragster just a couple of weeks ago, and you find out what those 70 reasons are by reading my article that they are publishing in the July issue of National Dragster Magazine, and soon on NHRA.com. And for that, a special thanks to Phil Burgess, editor of National Dragster and NHRA.com, for giving this 10-year-old boy one of the greatest thrills he's had in a long time. Number three. Hey, remember that Mickey Avalon novelty song from 2006, My Dick? For those of you who might have missed that one, the song's lyrics are a series of humorous similes which favorably contrast the rapper's penis with that of another unspecified person. Last week, I had 8 hours to kill and came up with a parody of that song. And you can see the lyrics and follow along with the song by typing in the YouTube search bar, My Prez Parody Song. My Prez Parody Song. Prez spelled P-R-E-Z. Enjoy! Here it is.
My prez put America first. Your prez categorically the worst. My prez energy independent. Your prez can't spell president. My prez never took a paycheck. Your prez corrupt son showed his dick. My prez has a classy smart wife. Your prez done nothing all his life. My prez walked into North Korea. Your prez slurs words like diarrhea. My prez called on government corruption. Your prez suffers mental interruption. My prez wife opened a night in Broadway. Your prez wife
DJ Broadway.
My prez 7 million new jobs. Your prez takes a needle woke mobs. My prez demands and earns respect. Your prez sniffing little kids' necks. My prez wants to drain the swamp. Your prez policies took a massive dump. My prez agile like a helicopter. Your prez can't read a teleprompter. My prez gave veterans a lifeline. Your prez killed America's pipelines. Biden ain't nothing but an ass clown. Come on, man, time for you to step down. DT is the best prez ever. Biden, you've been a president never. Biden ain't nothing but an ass clown. Come on, man, time for you to step down. DT is the best prez ever. Biden, you've been a president never. My prez beat COVID in 3 days. Your prez in a permanent haze. My prez called out China. Your prez voters, nothing but whiners. My prez, lowest unemployment. Your prez, hiding in his basement. My prez, 7 million off food stamps. Your prez has a VP that's a no tramp. My prez prez, setting records on the dial. Your prez, time to leave right now. My prez loves the American dream. Your prez, well, we know he likes ice cream. My prez is a man of law and order. Your prez caused a crisis at the border. My prez ended NAFTA. Your prez still taking orders from Obama. My prez for American farms. Your prez always cause for alarm. My prez gets peace in the Middle East. Your prez stupidity never cease. My prez won election fair and square. Your prez fell three times up the stairs. My prez made medicine affordable. Your prez, everything he does is horrible. My prez for legal immigration. Your prez has mental constipation. My prez ended ISIS. Your prez creates nothing but crisis. Biden ain't nothing but an ass clown. Come on, man, time for you to step down. DT is the best prez ever. Biden, you've been a president? Never. Biden ain't nothing but an ass clown. Come on, man, time for you to step down. DT is the best prez ever. Biden, you've been a president? Never.
And if you have a topic, or if you read or saw something, or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or you got a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com. Follow me on Instagram, @lousantini3, for episode highlights, download my book from Amazon, and subscribe to my YouTube page to see sneak peeks. Happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, America. And a special happy birthday, America, to the pros. Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro.
Yeah, my dream is to go pro.
Good. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a big major production.
Bye, Lou. Gonna miss you.